For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Aaron. I broke my mic this morning, tech team, so I'm going to use this if that's okay. Unintentionally. Thank you, Aaron. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Lead and guide us this morning, Holy Spirit. In your name, amen. We are picking up in a series we've entitled Powerful Partnerships. Powerful Partnerships. Why are we doing a series called Powerful Partnerships? Because God is doing something in human history. Just think about that. God is doing something in human history, which means he's doing something right now. Do you understand? God is doing something right now in human history. Jesus told Peter, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Which means that the kingdom of God, the purposes of God are advancing. Gates are defensive weapons. Do we understand? So when Jesus is saying, I'm going to fill my people with the Spirit of God to push forward my purpose in the earth, he wants to partner with you and I. Paul said it this way, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ not in me, Christ in you. All of us in this room. Christ in you, a partnership, a divine partnership with God, working out the kingdom of God in your life into the earth. This is the vision of God for the people of God. Then Jesus says, when we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I will send you another helper. Another helper. The Holy Spirit. He has been given, he has been with you and will be in you. Why do you need another helper? You got something to do. And you're going to need God to do it. God's got something for you to do, and he wants to partner with you to do it. You need another helper. And so we've been looking through this lens, these two lenses. God wants to do something in you individually. You're significant. You're important. You're valuable. And God wants to do something corporately in our midst, among the people of God, the family of God, for his purposes. And so we talked for 2 weeks on the Holy Spirit, that God's Spirit lives inside of us. And he doesn't just live there as some kind of wallflower. He's involved in our lives. He wants to speak to you. We talked about this the second week. He declares, he speaks, he leads, he guides. All of those are forms of communication. He proclaims to you. He will reveal to you things that are to come, Jesus said. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. The Spirit of God communicates with the people of God to push forward the purpose of God. Do we see that? And so on Palm Sunday, we talked about divine or a special donkey ship that God wants to partner with people to train other people to follow Jesus. And it's this combination of God and man working together. And so this morning, I've entitled this sermon, Complementary Partnership. Complementary Partnerships. Here's my main idea. God has designed us for and uses complementary partnerships for his glory, our good, and his purposes. I'm going to say that again. God has designed us for and uses complementary partnerships for his glory, our good, and his purposes. What did Aaron read this morning? 1 Corinthians 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Down to verse 19. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. We see here in our scripture this morning that God has designed us for and uses complementary partnerships for his glory, our good, and his purpose. God places us in a body, and then we partner with each other for his purposes. I'm here today because Jesus put me here. Amen? I went to some other places, other groups, other ministries on campus, and Jesus said, I want you in that one. And I was like, are you sure, Lord? I wanted to go to other ones. Right? But Jesus said, no, you're going to be right here. And God put me in the body and then put people around me, and I partnered and they partnered with me to push forward his purposes. We are many members and many parts, but one body. And this is what is implied by this. We're all different parts. We're different parts. Or we could say it this way. We're all a diverse collection of parts. We're different. Do y'all see that? If we were all ears, where would the sense of smell be? If we're all goalies, who's going to score the goals? If we're all 7'4" centers, who's going to get the ball down the court? You know what I'm saying? We're a different body. If we're all pitchers, who's hitting the home runs? If we're all stringed instruments, who's bringing the sound of the horns? If we're all salespeople, who's doing the maintenance and the administration? Talk to him, Corey Brown. If we're all teachers, who are the practitioners and the executors? If we're all bankers, who's bringing the resources to be banked? If we're all welders, who's providing the electricity? Who's running the wire? We all have a part to play. God has designed us for and uses complementary partnerships for his glory, our good, and his purposes. Now, can I be vulnerable with y'all this morning? Is this a judgment-free zone? I'm usually telling stories on my family members. I'm going to tell one on myself today. Praise the Lord. Tim, you're off the hook. Praise the Lord. All my kids can rest, you know, deep breath. When I got married, met Michelle, this is what I knew about myself. I needed work. Amen. I probably didn't think I needed as much work as I soon found out I needed, right? I had a base understanding. Yeah, I need to grow and develop. And then you get married and then you're like, man, I got a lot of work to do. But I also realized, this is my vulnerable part, there needs to be some work done over here too with my wife, right? I was like, yeah, she needs to work too, praise God. And she knew that. It wasn't, we were walking with Jesus. Jesus is sanctifying all of us. We're all in process. I knew that. But this is naive. I know, and I was a young man. It's funny, when you hear the word young man in the Bible, most of that time, that means that something bad is about to happen. So I'm a young man. Here's my mindset. I know she needs some work, but if she could be more like me, oh, hey, somebody else has thought of that. Praise the Lord. Yeah, all right. I hear you. What? He who throws a rock and a pack of dogs, the one who yelps is the one who got hit. Right? So everybody, oh, yeah, oh, I felt that. No, I thought, man, if she could be more like me, we'd have a better marriage. Praise the Lord. It sounds real good. It's just not true. I've heard lots of things sound good. It just lies, brother. Now, here's what we did, and this is what helped me. I don't know why, but we had taken a Strength Finders 2.0, Tom Rath and some other great folks. They did these assessments, and they've got 34 themes, and you do this assessment, and you get themes. And I'm getting my themes, and, you know, I'm thinking, man, these are pretty good themes. I'm full of these great strengths. You know, they give you top five. And I'm looking over, and Michelle and I did this together. I'm looking over, I'm like, she's got different strengths, right? She's got different themes. So I'm looking at her, and as I begin to learn and understand them, I realize we are very different. And the things that she's good at, I'm not good at. Right? And in fact, what makes us different is not a weakness, but a benefit. All right, we get that. So it's funny, and I'll give you an example. We'll be like going to the grocery store, and we'll be checking out. And the lady checking us out will be, I mean, this will come out of her mouth. I don't know why I'm telling you this. And just pouring out the deep secrets of her soul to my wife. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm thinking the same thing. Why are you telling her this? You know, like, I usually have to hog tie, brother, put pressure on him, and he might squeak out something. You know what I mean? But just that gifting just flows out of her. God's wired her that way. It's beautiful. It's complementary to what God wants to do. Amen? Now, those differences weren't weaknesses, but they were strengths. And so what I've described to you is the most basic and fundamental complementary relationship, marriage. And we see this. This is the biblical precedent. We see this in the Genesis narrative story, the creation story. God creates humanity, right? He creates the world, light and dark and day and night and earth and sky and waters and then animals to fill those arenas, right? Land animals and sky animals and water. And then he creates man. And then he says, I want you to kind of rule over this area. Now, this is interesting because humans, therefore, are not an intrusion into creation, but regents in it, stewards. We are not supposed to be here. We are very much the point of creation, and we are to steward it for God's glory. And so God says, hey, I'm going to put man by himself for a while. So he thinks he's pretty hot stuff. And then he realizes, this is what God says, it's not good for man to be alone. You see that? It's not good for man to be alone. So he said, I'm going to make him a helper suitable for him. Now that word helper, we struggle with that. Are you saying women? No, the word helper here, in most often used, is referring to God himself. So he says, I'm going to give him a helper. I'm going to give him someone who's bringing some stuff to the table. In fact, when he takes out of the side of man and creates woman, he's communicating something to us that we are not greater than as men, nor are we less than as men, but we are equal. We're from our side. We are equal in honor and value. And the image of God, all creation, man and woman, are equal. Do we see that? And so God is saying, look, I'm going to make them, but what did he not do? He made them a different type of human, a diverse type. We have a man, he made. And then we have a woman he made. And that complementary partnership brings out the glory of God. In fact, some theologians say, look, it's probably because one sex could not house the fullness of who God is. And so he gave another sex so that they can see, wow, I need to look outside of myself to see the fullness of who God is. I'm going to bring them together. That's a beautiful partnership. And what God said is, look, what I want started here, I have disorder where the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the deep. And then I created order in the garden. Disorder to order. And God said that he planted a garden and he put Adam and Eve inside of it. Who were the regents, the stewards, those ambassadors who were going to push forward what God started? A complementary partnership. Differences together. Do we see that? So we see that. What is the point? What God started, he pushed forwards. He dons, he knights God's garden kingdom in the earth, and he gives it to a complementary partnership. And that was the Old Testament. But we see this in the New Testament as well. God has birthed a multi-ethnic church in the city of Antioch. And they're praying and they're fasting and the Holy Spirit's working. And this is what he says. I want you to set apart. It says, the Spirit said, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas for the work I've created them to do. Why Paul and Barnabas? Because Paul was an apostle. If you studied the scriptures, you realize Paul isn't going to stop at anything for God's glory to be, his gospel to go forth. He's going to run through walls. He's going to get beat. He's going to get shipwrecked. He's going to go to prison, preach in prison. He's going to see a mob of people ready to kill him, and he wants to step right in the middle to say, at least when I go, I'll be going with the gospel on my lips. That's Paul. Now, Barnabas has a different gifting, the son of encouragement, the son of the prophets. He's got a prophetic gifting. He's maybe seeing what needs to be done. He's maybe encouraging. In fact, it was him. He's got a heart of restoration. He sees Paul being excluded from the apostles in Jerusalem, and he goes, gets Paul, and brings him there. He's bringing people together. He has this different gift, and this diversity of gifting creates this powerhouse missional team that pushes forward the kingdom of God in the book of Acts. It was the apostles and the prophets. It was both of them working together. And that wasn't easy, as we'll look at, but there was a complementary partnership. We see that in the church. Paul says in the church at Ephesus, he goes, I'm going to give you apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are all gifts that God gives to the body. Apostles are like pioneers. They push forward the gospel. Evangelists are those who share the gospel and preach the word and make sure people understand Jesus. And then we got teachers, we got pastors, right? We've got all these diversity of giftings. And what does it say? I've given these to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wave and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness of deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are growing up into all things to him who is the head, which is Christ. What's the point? God has put a diversity of leadership gifts in the church so that you might mature. That's why I don't sit up here and I preach 50 times a year, because I know I don't have the only gift that this body needs. And if I look around and say, man, we probably need to have someone else from maybe our Every Nation community come in and leaven this body in fresh ways. If y'all heard Pastor Mike preach a few weeks ago, y'all feel the gifting that he brings to the pulpit. Amen. I mean, I want to jump through a wall. I want to run a marathon. Why? That's the gift of God through the people of God leavening us. Do we see that? And what does that do? That raises us up. That matures us. We need a diversity of giftings leavening the body. Do we understand? Now, that brings us back to our original passage. Are we all ears? Are we all eyes? Are we all fingers? No. But there is order, right? God has designed us for and uses complementary partnerships for his glory, our good, and his purpose. Now, if you've ever tried to do this, this is hard. It's hard to bring diversity and complementary partnerships together. That's not an easy thing. It's an easier thing to build another way. Let's get all the ears together. Let's get all the eyes together. Let's get all the left feet together. Yes, we're walking a circle, but at least we're all the same. And so we have this tendency to, and the culture doesn't help that, does it? We kind of, the culture and the current of the culture is to push forward these echo chambers, these silos where all the people who think alike are together thinking the same thing. Right? Because I was studying for Easter last week, and I had been listening to some debates from Catholic apologists who were debating certain New Testament scholars about the validity of the New Testament. And I was getting so much from it. And the next thing I know, everything on my YouTube feed is from the Catholic Church. And I'm like, am I Catholic? I thought I was Protestant. You know, I was like, oh yeah, I am Protestant. But it was one little AI bit and we're forcing me into the mold, right? And so our tendency in the current of the culture is to push us into silos where everybody looks like us, thinks like us, and talks like us. Right? But that's not how God designed us. He designed us to walk in diversity for his glory and our good. In fact, the other day this happened. I've been married to my wife now. This will be 18 years. Hey, this will be 18 years. Lot more assessments. A lot more appreciation. This long journey. And I was working with someone. And they said, and I quote, I don't know why I'm telling you this. I'm like, I don't either. But I've seen this before. Maybe my wife has been sharpening me to be a better listener. Right? And so that complementary partnership, I'm not like my wife, but I'm better at myself because I'm with my wife. And so that complementary partnership produces good fruit. So what does that mean? That means when we see people who don't look like us or talk like us or think like us, we shouldn't instantly push them away. We should have curious hearts and loving hearts and understanding so that we can grow. Now, as we kind of wrap this up, I'm going to give us seven. We're going to go fast. Things to guard against, okay? Number one, I want us to guard against gravitating exclusively to those who are like you. I didn't say, look, there's a prophetic gathering in a couple weeks up in D.C. I hope all those who are wired prophetically go. It's good for them. But if all we're doing is hanging out with the prophetic, we're probably going to be a little weird. And two, just like all the evangelists who hung out, probably get a little weird. And so we need each other's complementary partnerships to come together. So I want us to guard against gravitating exclusively to everybody who thinks and talks and looks just like us. There's nothing wrong with that on a regular basis, right? Just make sure it's not exclusive. Usually in the church, these certain giftings gravitate to each other. Is that true? And we create these silos within the church. And then the next thing you know, I look up and I'm only hanging out with middle-class white people. And then I miss a beautiful expression of the glory of God. And an immaturity comes to my soul because I'm not challenged to think a different way. I'm talking about in Christ. I'm not talking about unorthodox thinking. I'm not talking about leaving the gospel. I'm not talking about leaving repentance of sin and submission to Jesus. Not at all. In Christ, of the same spirit. But to think and look differently. So we need that sharpening. Number two, guard against isolating yourself from community and deeper relationships, because here's the lie. You're not important. Because I'm not the ear, I'm not important. Because I'm not the hand, I'm not important. Look, you bring something to this body that we need. Do you understand? In fact, I believe that we can't fulfill what Jesus is asking us to do unless more of us start joining to the body and expressing their gifting and their calling. We don't need more Blakes. Praise God. We need more people that don't. We need more Michelles, honestly. We need more others. We need others, right? Different giftings. Come to the, so don't isolate. You are significant to the life of this church and to the life of your spheres of influence. You're significant. Don't isolate yourself. Who told you that? And here's, and this will transition me a little bit to number three, but guard against elevating your gifting, your ethnicity, your personality, your culture above others, as if, well, I know we need the little toe, but praise God, I'm the hand. Okay, calm down. In fact, Jesus said, he kind of does this little switcheroo where he's like, I make you think you're the hand, but really, you're the little toe. That's what he said. I make it look like you're really important so that you won't be mad at everybody else. And so there's this understanding that we all are valuable to the body. And then when we think I'm more important than them, man, we're distancing ourselves from the body and maybe the very thing that we need. I have a friend who was working on my computer a few years ago, and it wasn't, I don't think it was a Mac, I can't remember, but it was years ago. And they opened it up. That was back then when you can open up computers and stuff. Just the random Joe could do it. So we were opening it up, and he knew a lot about computers, and he moved some stuff around, and he fixed it, and he put it back together, and there was this like little cup of like tiny screws. And I was like, when you started, those were in there. But now that we're done, they're out here. And he just went and goes, those are extra parts. I'm like, I don't know a lot about computers, but I'm pretty sure that's not how this works. And I think some of us have kind of put ourselves in the cup and said, man, I'm just spare parts. Who told you that? You might be holding this whole thing together. Guard against imitating others' gifts. We don't need any more blank, whoever that person is. We need you. Now, the Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. Yeah. The Bible says, imitate their faith, please. But don't imitate their gifting, right? God wants you to be the best in Christ version of you he's called you to be. He doesn't want you to be like somebody else. And in fact, when we are trying to do that, we're not fulfilling our purpose in what Jesus called. Now, that's a journey, y'all. I'm not saying I'm killing that. That's a journey. I'm still discovering with the Holy Spirit who God's wired and created me to be in that nuance. Amen? And that's a journey. That's a walk with Jesus. That's what's beautiful about relationships. Number four, guard against fatigue. Diverse community is hard work. It's hard work. It's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it. I have a pastor friend during COVID and some of the ethnic and political tension, and he pastors a multi-ethnic church, and one of his members sat down, and he said, man, I'm leaving the church. He said, okay, well, why? Well, you know, I just feel like you're kind of pandering to this side, and you're not speaking the truth, and you're blah, 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 blah. And he said, okay, can I just give you some perspective? I just sat down with somebody from that side who says the exact same thing you're saying. So what's really the problem? He goes, man, I'm just tired. I'm tired of having to fight for my voice and blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, I get it. But this is what we're fighting for. A little bit of heaven on earth. You think that's going to be easy? Let me just help you. Paul and Barnabas, they didn't make it. Not together. Now, did God use it? Of course. I mean, God uses our brokenness all the time. But you know what? They experienced some conflict. And honestly, I think it was over-gifting. It was their diversity that was a part of the conflict. Because Paul was like, look, this brother you brought last time left us halfway through. He done. And Barnabas is like, I mean, you needed some help too, remember? So let's don't talk about that. He's like, I think we should bring him back. Now, they were family. Bible says they were cousins. So there's a little bit of incentive there, right? And so there's this family aspect. There's this conflict going on. And they ended up walking away because it was hard. Now, God used it. We settled that. In fact, at the end of Paul's life, that disciple who Barnabas wanted to bring along was the very one that Paul reached out to and said, could he come? He's important to me. So God redeemed it. But it just brings about the hardness of what it means to walk in a diverse community. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Because there's going to be seasons. Now think about that. There's going to be seasons where you're not going to want to continue. There's going to be seasons that you're going to want to pull up that plant that you've been tending so long because it's not producing. But if you'll not destroy it with your words and your attitude, it will bear fruit. It's promised. If we do not give up. Number 6, guard yourself against offense. Diverse and complementary partnerships will inevitably rub us the wrong way. Look, I have a certain predisposition. I have a certain way of seeing the world. I have a certain intensity and a relaxedness all at the same time. And some people want to push and prod me. That's their gift. It makes me mad. And then I get away from it and I'm like, I needed that. Praise the Lord. I sure didn't want it, but I needed it. Do you understand? So this complementary gifting brings life to us, but it can cause friction and offense. And we must guard against it. We must keep short accounts. We must keep communication lines open. When others don't do the things like we feel like they should and rub us the wrong way, which is diversity at its best, we must guard against offense. And so when we get offended, that's okay. Take a step back. That's all right. That's called life. I get offended in my home all the time. I don't just like, I'm out of here. I'm offended. No, God's put me here and these people in my life for my good, His glory, and His purposes. And so I'm going to fight for this. Which means I'm going to have to walk into some humility. That's not fun. Humility's hard. Humility's like admitting you're wrong. That's what humility is. Humility is admitting you're wrong even when you're not wholly wrong. Humility is admitting about the 10% you're wrong when the other person's 90% wrong. But just not to keep the peace, to start the conversation. Because the conversation needs to be moving forward because we're not going to grow if we're not talking. There is such thing, and this gets me to number 7, thank you, Todd, about indifference. We got to guard against indifference. This kind of pseudo peace. We just coexist together. You think that's what God's, we made it, brother. We made it. I don't like you very much. But we made it. That's not what God's after. He's after a vibrant community that's complementary, and we're growing. We got to guard against indifference. Well, I'm not leaving, but I surely ain't talking to him anymore. Okay. God's glorified by that. Now, that's a start, praise the Lord. That's better than not staying. But could we work together? Could we start the conversation? Could we walk in humility? And Jesus gives us resources for that, and that's a different sermon. Okay. Now, in conclusion, God has designed us for and uses complementary partnerships for his glory, our good, and his purposes. That's what we said. And I feel like there's an echo here of the gospel of Jesus, the message of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus here. Because in this, what we're saying is, I'm incomplete in and of myself. That's what we're saying. We're saying that there's something else that I can't just look inwardly, which is kind of what the culture tells us. I can't just look inwardly and find all that I need. I'm going to have to look outwardly. And that's a picture of the gospel because this is what Jesus says. We need God to do something in us we can't do for ourselves. Jesus has come to take your guilt and shame away. Why? Because there is guilt and shame. And guilt just means you're guilty. My hands in the air, guilty. But Jesus has come to take that away because he was treated as guilty. He was crucified for your sins. He was wholly other, different than you. And he wants to form a partnership with you. Well, how could that ever happen? Because you and I are selfish at our core, even when we're religious and nice. Or religious and mean. We need Jesus to do something in us. This is the gospel. Christ did what you could not do. He fulfilled God's justice and his love at the same moment. His love pushed him to the cross because he loves you. And his justice suffered and died in your place. A diverse, complementary partnership, God willingly, he doesn't have to, partnering with humanity by the blood of Christ. It's a picture of us needing God. Now, even in Christ, when we're made whole, we need God and we need others to grow. I need Christ in you and Christ in you and Christ in you so that I might grow up into all that Jesus has called me to be and do, and that we might do what Jesus has called us to do. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning that you have designed us for and use complementary partnerships for your glory, our good, and your purposes. And Lord, this is not an easy thing. This is a hard thing. Lord, I pray that we would walk with Jesus in doing this hard thing. That we wouldn't let offense drive us away. We wouldn't let indifference push us away. Lord, that we would fight for the other. We would fight for those relationships that don't come easy because we need each other, because you've asked us to. And Lord, we're grateful for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.